Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, and welcome to Self-Improvement Atlas, the Personal Science Insights podcast produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We are champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm Marie Stella, your host from Melbourne, Australia. Let's start the show. Welcome back to Self-Improvement Atlas, the Personal Science Insights podcast, where we talk about everything personal development, self-discovery, etc. Today's episode is going to be a compass for those navigating the labyrinth that is their personal lives. We're delving deep into the journey of purposeful career building. So whether you're a recent graduate seeking your first foothold in the industry or a seasoned professional contemplating a little pivot, this episode just might give you the clarity that you need. As usual, we have an expert to guide us through this. He's a career coach who has jumped ships across the decades from physiotherapy to filming and editing content and even to scaling a startup. He is none other than Utkarsh Narang. Hi, Utkarsh. Lovely to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Marie. And when you give me that introduction, it makes it sound so large, but it's not that large. I've just been following my passions and choosing a career which gives me a lot of joy, and hopefully I'm going to share that today with our audience as well.
Look, either way, I think it's an impressive feat. But could you tell us a bit about your journey through the various careers and about your role as a career coach as well?
Absolutely, it's kind of a long answer, but I'll try and make it concise as much as I can. Look, my journey began about 20 years ago as a physical therapist. I have a master's in orthopedic physiotherapy, and I had clinics I was in Delhi, India at that time. And I was really enjoying my very purposeful role of healing patients and also doing something that gave me a lot of joy and allowed me to speak with people, to learn what is troubling them and how do I heal them. But then after 6-7 years of doing that, I was feeling that I'm like a frog in a well, if you know what that means, because it felt that I can have like a global impact on the planet, but the world was not ready to receive me. And what I was seeing was that I was trying to see patients over Skype back in 2010 and 11, which the world thought is a insane idea, because how can you provide medical consultation over Skype? So that led me to feel that this is not the right path for me. And so I started networking, met a professor at Columbia Business School in New York, which is when I transferred into filming and editing, then moved different roles during the 8 years with them, till the time when the pandemic hit, which is when I realized that life is too short. And if you have certain dreams, you might take the leap right now rather than wait till the pandemic is over, or wait till your kids grow up, or wait till something else happens. And so I think I've been someone who does not wait. That could be my impatience speaking. But then that led to me choosing to become a coach, because what I was trying to see was that you need a lot of courage to make such decisions. Mm-hmm. And courage does not come naturally to the human mind and the human heart. And so yeah. I thought maybe that's something that I would love to do and support others on that journey as well.
For sure. And some of it might be impatience, but I'm sure the other half of it is just your fervor for what you want to do as well. And it sounds like you have the perfect skill set, the perfect mix of skills to be a career coach. And that was a great introduction as well to our topic for today. But before we get started, we'd like to get to know you better. This is Have You Met Utkarsh? So my first question for you is, what is your favorite book?
That's always a tough question to answer. I love Atomic Habits by James Clear. I love, there's a book on essentialism, but I think my all-time favorite remains Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And the book itself, to certain people, might sound very boring when they read it, but the wisdom and the nuggets that are there that Viktor Frankl presents, I think are amazing. And I actually keep a copy of it on my table all the time. because I love that book so much.
That's amazing. What's your biggest takeaway from that book?
I think it is to be ultimately be able to find that purpose. And Victor speaks a lot about logotherapy, which is once you find what your purpose in life is, whether that's to keep finding your purpose or whether that's to impact lives or whether that's just maybe earn a lot of money. Once you have that figured out, then the path becomes easier.
Yeah, for sure. And is there a movie that holds a similar place in your heart?
I'm not a movie buff. And to be honest, my family does not love me for that because I cannot sit through the movie for 2 hours. But recently I watched this Hindi movie, actually, which is called Rocky and Rani Ki Prem Kahani. And that's a movie where the actor and the female actor, the lead actors, they're from very different backgrounds, but they fall in love. And so why I love that movie is that it challenges that my norms could be very different from yours, but that does not mean that I can disrespect your norms.
Yeah.
And so it speaks a lot about equality and challenging the beliefs. And so that's why it kind of resonates with me recently.
For sure. And it also just kind of reaffirms that idea that two people from opposite ends of the spectrum can come together and form love for each other, which is just, it's just a great notion to have. It's just something that's great to think about. And as for podcasts, are there any that you're listening to at the moment?
I always loved Jay Shetty's On Purpose. That's one of my favorites. The other one I recently fell upon is there's one by Dr. David Burns. It's called the Feeling Good Podcast, if I remember correctly. I would highly recommend that if someone wants to create that emotional regulation within themselves. I think it's a really powerful podcast.
Okay, well, if you were in an elevator with someone and you really had to get them to listen to this podcast within that, like, 30 seconds to 1 minute, what would you say to get them hooked?
Your emotions are great servants, but not good masters. And if you want to make your emotions great servants, then this is the podcast you should listen to.
Okay, that's interesting. That is very, very compelling. And do you have a role model in your personal or professional life?
I think that's one thing that it constantly keeps changing. When I was a physical therapist, I had different role models. As a videographer, I had different. So I think they keep changing. I do have certain people I really admire for their tenacity, but I think I learned from very, very different storied people that I've met and interact over emails.
Yeah, definitely. Tell us about a couple of them if you are willing to.
Absolutely. So I think one of the most kind of people that I admire is there used to be a photographer in the US. He recently passed away, Henry Grossman. And he's someone who had taken pictures of Nelson Mandela, of Eleanor Roosevelt, and of leaders and was a personal photographer for the Beatles. And so his eye and his ability to see the light and see the play of the light and the dark, I think that really I admired. And he was my mentor while I was becoming a videographer.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what are some of the traits that you admire most about him?
I think it was his patience and it was his ability to appreciate. And I remember the first time I showed him some of my work, and I was like a very early stage infant in the world of editing and videography and photography. But he said, Utkarsh, you have the eye to become good at it. And that appreciation really kind of, I leveraged that and it helped me move forward. And he was, I think in his late 70s, but he would always make the time to meet me when I was in New York. And I really admired that about him.
That is so sweet. And I have to say, like, I admire anyone who has that level of patience as well. Patience is a hard trait to you know, train. It's hard to build up. You know, all of us are humans. We all get really impatient at some point. So these people are just truly admirable to me. My last question for you before we end off this section is there a course that you've taken in your lifetime that has inspired you till this day?
That just kind of takes me back memory lane. I think over the last 7 to 8 years, I've been very consistent that I want to touch a billion lives on this planet. I know it's a very aspirational goal, And it's a goal that's not easy to measure. Mm-hmm. But I really want to leave this world a bit more courageous than how I received it, I think. And that would be a mission, a goal that I'm constantly working towards, that how can I ignite that spark in people so that they can choose to be courageous rather than fearful in situations.
Look, you are so ambitious and you are inspiring me right now. So that you can count that as like one more towards a billion people on the planet. Thank you so much for sharing more about yourself, Utkarsh. I feel like we got to know you a bit better. So now we're moving on to the interview section. And my first question for you is something that we like to ask all of our guests. How would you define personal development?
Yeah, so, you know, personal development and development as a word, if you look at a child, and I have two boys who are 13 and 10 now, if you look at a child when they're born and they're learning to walk, they fall 100,000 times. But never would a parent or a child be told that that you should not learn to walk because you're failing and falling again and again. To me, personal development is somewhat similar, that we will on this journey of life, ideally, we should be growing and learning every single day. And if you're, and in my opinion to that is very strong, that if you're not learning, if you're not developing yourself, if you're not growing, you better be dead. Because learning actually comes very naturally to the human mind and body and heart. Mm-hmm. So why stop? Why stop?
Yeah, for sure. And the thing is, well, like, first of all, I have to say that was a very, very... That was a very bold statement and I love that so much. It does convey the message. And the second thing I want to say is it is really true though. Like, and whether you intend to or not, most of the time, a lot of the time, we are learning anyway as we go along. And if you choose not to learn, like you might as, what are you doing?
No, what you're saying is exactly what you're saying is right. See, if you and I have this conversation for the next 30 to 45 minutes and if someone's choosing to listen to this, they would be changed or evolved by the end of this conversation. Whether they go down or whether they go up, that's a different story, but they would be changing. And to me, that's just a natural process. So what are we trying to really resist when we say that we don't want to learn something new? And I think it's just as like a little child is curious, they want to suck their thumb, they want to pick up things from the floor and experience them. They're trying to learn new things, right? And we need to build that curiosity. We need to find that joy of learning. I think it's during the school ages, and especially I come from India. We've recently moved here to Melbourne. In India, learning is that there's an end outcome. You learn because you don't want to fail. And that, I think, needs to be changed.
Yeah.
You learn because you find joy in that learning.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like as a teenager, I did kind of avoid learning a lot of things because I was afraid of the failure. And it might have been like from, I don't know, just being afraid of like being a disappointment or something like that. But I feel like now as an adult, when you've like kind of distanced yourself from, you know, your childhood upbringing a bit, it makes it easier to learn just for the sake of learning, just because you want to learn something new. And it is very fun, even if I don't always like pass the test or excel at everything I learn. But, you know, you just, it also helps with like broadening your perspective on a lot of things, I feel like. So yeah, that was a great definition. Thank you so much for that. My second question for you is, how would you define working?
Thank you for that question. You know, it's like when we think of work in a very conventional way, we think of a job that we have. And typically the job is like 8 to 10 hours a day. And so you could think of that, that's it, right? But in this post-COVID world, I think work has blurred the lines and it's now entered all spaces of a life. You could be doing a WhatsApp call or sending a message on Slack or receiving an email on your iPhone, and that all becomes work. So to me, I think work is a very, very prominent part of our existence. And it almost, and I've seen this with my coaches as well, where once they're laid off from a job, then they feel that their identity has been erased. And I think that's what troubles me a lot, because working has become synonym to our identity. I think work is just a singular, beautiful, big part of our life where we'll spend about 8 to 10, 12 maybe hours a day, and we need to find joy in it. but we cannot let it become like a full-time, full kind of existence thing for us. And so I think working is mostly when you're doing something that allows you to grow, that allows you to pay the bills, and that allows you to achieve certain beautiful things in life. I think that to me is the right definition of working.
Yeah. And how do you think work contributes to your personal development?
It depends. You know, I'll just, for the sake of it, give you like a very contrary thought on this, Marie. If you think of being in a job where it's a toxic environment, where there's a lot of politics, then the work is actually developing you on the negative side, is not allowing you to grow and learn to be better. And so that is not the right way to work. And if that's the case, I think people should find that, again, coming back to courage, to find a new job or to excel in a different field. Yeah. But otherwise, I think work is a very critical part of our growth journey. If an organization can provide this opportunity to grow, to learn, to be better, then working is going to really impact our personal development in big and beautiful ways.
That is so well put. In the sense of like, if you find work where the environment's toxic, it's probably not going to be very good for your personal development. But if you find meaningful work, purposeful work, and a place that nurtures you and cares for you and allows you to grow, it can do wonders for you personally. So that's really well put. And next, I really want to get your opinion on what you think it means to find meaningful work.
A smile comes on my face as soon as I think of that question. What it really means to find meaning, and I know it's a cliche that do what you love, love what you do, but once you've found that sweet spot, whether that's in art, whether that's in coding, whether that's in coaching, in creating podcasts, whatever that field might be, if you've found that work starts to bring you joy, work starts to feel like, I can't wait to get back to Monday morning, That's what the sweet spot is, and that's when you've found your ideal form of working, I would say.
Yeah, and what is the importance of this? How does it benefit us mentally, psychologically, and emotionally?
Yeah, let me just take you back to my life and give you an example from that and story from that, so that it resonates more deeply with our audience. I used to be working in Delhi, India. When I was with that Columbia Business School professor, and our office was on the 10th floor. Every time I would park my car in the basement and go to the 10th floor, those 30 seconds in the elevator, I would keep telling myself that I'm walking into this organization to do my best work, and this organization is going to allow me to grow. And I would, as soon as I would step out, it would be like I'm transformed. And that's what a beautiful workplace, that's what a workplace which supports your growth can do to you. And then it ultimately leads to that emotional growth. It leads to that psychological safety that we can talk about, where you feel that your work is meaningful and what the organization is also reciprocating it with is a good pay, good working conditions, a community of people that are focused on the same goal. So I think it helps an individual emotionally, mentally, and psychologically. And as I said, 1/3 of our life is going to be spent working, Maria. Out of 24 hours, if we look at 10 hours or 8 to 10 hours, that's 1/3 of our life. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing something that's meaningful those 1/3 part of our existence, then we're missing on something that's big. So I think it's a call out for organizations to A, provide that similar kind of space and safety and growth opportunity. And it's also the responsibility of every leader, every manager within that organization, that we all feel that safety, we all feel that joy in our careers.
Yeah. And on the contrary, what kind of mental, psychological, and emotional effects would not having a meaningful career or purposeful career have on someone?
Yeah. So imagine this, if there is like a manager who is also... Imagine me, I become a manager and I have to go to an organization and lead my people of 15 people. And I have a massive fight with my spouse this morning. She was not agreeing on what I wanted for lunch and I was not agreeing for that. And then we end up fighting, our kids are watching. So now I have that emotional space that I'm going to carry into the workplace. Now, if the workplace is also not supporting me, is not providing me safety, is not providing me anything, then that just keeps bubbling up. I come back from office and I'm now again in the same mood, emotionally drained, not feeling safe, not feeling psychologically fully stable. And that's what's going to lead to. And if we reverse the thing also, I have a beautiful environment at my home. I enjoy being with my family, enjoy hiking, enjoy cycling or walking in this beautiful city. But then the work I do is not meaningful. The work I do is providing me with a lot of stress. Then I'm going to carry that. So our emotions actually get carried from one place to the other, and they're infectious. So if the workplace does not provide us with that safety, with that beautiful environment that you and I are speaking about, then that's going to carry into our lives as well.
Yeah. And for those who aren't quite sure yet what career paths would be purposeful to them or what kind of work would be meaningful to them, what strategies would you recommend them employing in order to explore and discover all of this, like this entire realm, and making sure that all of this aligns with their personal interests and skills?
Perfect. Let's try and divide that into different stages, Marie, for ease of consumption. And I would say I can go up to like maybe 5 stages. But even before we get there, I just want to share that there's this this research by Dr. Amy at I think the Yale School of Management, if I remember correctly. And what she did was that she observed how people feel about the work that they do. And she says there are 3 paths that one could take. It could be just a job for them. They come there, clock in, clock out. They get the money. They wait for that last day when the salary is going to get credited. They use that salary and that's about it. The second is that people actually think of it as a career. That I want to grow in my career. I want to excel, get the corner office maybe someday, excel in my salary. And that's how they think about their work. And then there's a final category, which feels when they come to office, they pinch themselves. These guys pay me for this work? Are they nuts? What is wrong with them? And that's when it becomes a calling. And it's not necessary that we would jump from a job, a career, or a calling. It's not necessary that a calling will always stay a calling. So we have to be okay with this flexibility. So that's the first kind of caveat before we move into the next steps. Now, to help our listeners understand how they find their calling, I just take them back to, again, my story, if that's okay. When I was in a very purposeful job, I was in that organization for 8 years. But as the pandemic hit, I decided to move on from that. Now, I used to joke on the lunch table that I'll be bloody 85 and I'll be walking with a stick into this office because I've seen you all grow here. But that changed. And so I think the first step is for you to clearly understand what are the skills that you have. So do a very good analysis of who you really are. What values do you hold true? What do you enjoy doing? What conditions are there in your environment? Are you someone who's just graduated? Are you someone who has like 5-7 years of experience, but you want to kind of now see where you go next? Are you someone maybe who's been in corporate job for 20 years, but the satisfaction is not there? So understand who you are. So that self-awareness piece comes in. Once you've figured that out, that's when you go out into the market and start to network with people.
So tell us more about the other facets.
Yeah. So the first one, as I shared, Marie, is to understand yourself. Then the next step would be to just research the market. Based on the skills that you have, what are all the different things that you can do? I would go on to recommend that if you can think of like the 50 things or 50 careers that you can find, just go ahead and make a list of that. And while you do all of this, make sure that you write it down, because just thinking about it never helps us. And we need to make sure that we are writing it down. Once you've done that, it's time to now shorten your list. It's time to now figure out that out of these 25, 30, 50 things, this is the criteria that I want to look at. And these are the 3 or the 5 that make a lot of sense. Once you've narrowed it down, that's the time you go out and network, because you have to go and learn and meet those people. And again, taking myself back into that year, 2020 is when I decided that I want to be a career coach. And I spent half of the year just talking to people who were already career coaches and who were doing really well in their industry, as to what does it really mean to be a career coach? What does it mean to help others on this journey? Will I be paid okay, or will I be in shambles in terms of caring for my family? And so that networking becomes very important.
So how would you advise someone to go about networking? What are the first few steps to get them started?
Yeah. I think we, LinkedIn is a beautiful place where and Marie, you and I met on LinkedIn as well. So LinkedIn is a beautiful place to meet people. But when you reach out to people, make sure that you do it with the right intent. You do it with a lot of heart and not just like a blank message which does not make any sense to the other person. You have to make sure that you tell them what is it that you're seeking and how much time. Because see, when there's someone who's a little senior or who's been in that industry for a while, they'll be happy to mentor you, but they need to make sure that you're in it to win it. And they need to make sure that you know what are you seeking. So that, I think, would be an important thing. The second is, I recently got a new mentor for myself during this current journey, and I reached out to them on email, and I knew that they were reading a specific book, which I again highly recommend. There's a book called The Inner Game of Tennis by Tim Galloway. It's a great book. So I knew they were reading that book and they play tennis. And so my subject to them was, can I invite you to an outer game of tennis? And they just hooked on.
Smart. That's a great hook. Yeah. Amazing.
And I had no idea.
Yeah.
So like, I had no idea.
Yeah. You tailored that so well to the person that you're sending this to. So that's some really, really great advice. What are the next few steps afterwards?
Yeah. So then we move to, so we've done the analysis of self-awareness. We've looked at the research of what's out there and what can I do. We've looked at the networking piece. Once all that is done, you would be able to understand what is your skill gap. You have to make sure that you understand that if there's a skill gap that needs to be plugged in. And so find out where you can go, what courses can you take. There's enough work that's available online or even offline. Take those courses, start to invest a little bit in that skill. And that's the fourth step. And once you're through that, the final step is to start running experiments.
Yeah.
When I became a coach, the first person that I reached out to was a dear friend who was a founder of an organization at that time. And she was struggling with her individual contributors not being able to transform themselves into managers. And so I told her, you have these five people that you really admire. Let me coach them and see what happens for them. And out of those five, two left the company, sadly so. Mm-hmm. But three of them became presidents for that organization, and they're still 3 years, 4 years down the line, still with them. So yeah, that works.
Wow, that's amazing. So does this kind of professional development play a part in building a meaningful career at all? And if so, how?
It would be a starting point. I think when you do these five things, it's not that the first day I started coaching, it became like a calling for me. Mm-hmm. It took months and weeks of toil and tear and blood and sweat to finally make me feel that, oh, this is just the right path for me. And I would say that sometimes people tell me that, oh, Utkarsh, you wasted your master's, you wasted your experience as a videographer. Why don't you get into digital right now and this and that? But here's the thing, what you need to admire about your own journey is, if you're someone, and I was coaching someone yesterday about this, that person was in the tech industry for 18 years. And after 18 years of being in the organization, they were laid off. And now part of them is like devastated that how could they do this to me? But what you have to understand is that during those 18 years, they paid you a good salary. You were able to bring up your kids in a new country. And now it's up to you to leverage the skills that you learned during those 18 years to build upon them and find a new job and find a new calling. You might have to start from the job, the career, and the calling, but it's possible.
Yeah, for sure. And what advice would you have for navigating career transitions like this, especially when switching industries or roles, especially in pursuit of more meaningful work?
Yeah. I think just ask yourself, why do you want to do it? If the why is very clear, then you'll be able to find your path. And I'm not here to kind of say that that let's glamorize industry shifts, that let's glamorize such leaps that I've taken. That's not the case. I think what I want us to feel is that if you're doing something where you don't get joy, remember that you have a choice. Mm-hmm. You have a choice to find a new career. You have a choice to become an entrepreneur. You have a choice from closing down your startup and going back to a job. You have a choice to becoming a videographer or an editor. You have a choice to do whatever the hell do you want to do. And that to me should be the takeaway from our conversation today, that choice is ours and we need to exercise it.
Absolutely. So could you tell us about some of the challenges that might arise during this journey and how we can possibly overcome them. As you've said, you know, we don't want to glamorize such like trying experiences like industry switching. So I'd love to hear more about the challenges that come with that.
Yeah. I think the biggest challenge in terms of either you, when you change your industry or whether you change a job or whether you look for a promotion from, say, an individual contributor to now a manager, the first and the biggest challenge will be that before the world starts to doubt you, you're going to doubt yourself. And so the imposter syndrome will start to creep in. You have to be very aware that that when you're on this journey, you have certain skills which you are now going to exercise, now going to express and use to become a better version of yourself. And so go back to that thing that you and I were speaking about, Marie, that find joy in that growth. And if you find that joy, then you will be able to do it. The second is that there'll be moments when it might look that, what the hell did I do? Because in my journey as well, there was a time when everything seemed to be failing. No one wanted to be coached by me. And it seemed that I should lose all hope. I should go back to like a full-time job and this is not going to work. But in those moments, just believe in yourself. Create a tip would be, create an affirmation for yourself, which you can repeat to yourself. And there was a time back in October of 2021, which is when I had no work at all for a couple of months. And it did not look that the pipeline was giving me anything over the next few months. And then what I did with my coach, again, I, as a coach, need a coach as well. Mm-hmm. What I did with my coach is that I built this affirmation: if not me, then who? If not now, then when? And I would keep repeating it myself, keep repeating it to myself, and keep putting in the work, show up, and good things will happen. So these are the two challenges that come up.
Yeah. Thank you so much for explaining all of that to us. It's been really, really enlightening. Are there any tools or assessments that you would recommend to us in order to gain a deeper understanding of our personality, strengths, and potential career paths for us?
Absolutely. So I think there's this there's a Myers-Briggs test that I recommend. It's something that I've seen people use.
Oh yeah.
But here's a contrary thought on that too, Marie. What I feel is that the only tool that I would want you to use is to spend time on yourself and spend time on the career shift, because sometimes we get too busy in the granular details of whatever is happening around us. So create a calendar block for yourself where you analyze who you are, where you analyze what you need, yeah, where you analyze what's available in the market. And I think that's going to be the best tool, yeah, that you can use for yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like self-reflection is really important here. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I would definitely.
That's great. I want to ask you more about that in the next section that we have. But my last question for you in this section is, could you share with us some success stories or examples of individuals that you might have coached who have successfully found meaningful work and built purposeful careers after utilizing some of the strategies that you shared with us?
Absolutely. A couple of examples directly come to mind. So this is, there was a tech person in the US who was working with a very huge organization, listed organization, and they were doing really well with their work, but they were again feeling that they're not able to find the right projects or they can do much more. And so there was always this doubt creeping up that, am I doing what I'm supposed to do on this planet? And so we spoke about, through our coaching, spoke about what values do they have, what is it that they really want to pursue in life. And I asked them to build an Excel sheet for themselves that, if 6 months down the line, can they define what success looks like for them? And so that's, again, a tool that people can use. And so they did that in July of 2023, I want to be at this place. Now just backtrack from that moment as to what are the steps that you want to take to reach that moment. And so that really helped them. When they had the Excel sheet, they were able to follow that to the T and make that transition happen. And they've now founded their own company in earlier part of this year. And so that's one example. The other example that comes to mind, and I've seen this much often, is there was a person who was promoted actually to becoming a manager. Mm-hmm. And now as soon as that happened to her, the person that she was reporting to, the people kind of, that, and she was a product manager, the people she was reporting to, now they became her peers. And the peers that she had became her direct reports. And so she took a few weeks to months to keep doubting herself. Mm-hmm. That, how do I build that relationship now? How do I get out of this imposter syndrome? Mm-hmm. And then the question that I asked her was that, is this that the role that's been given to you, are you a deserving candidate? Mm-hmm. And she said, yes, absolutely, I am. And then I asked her, what stops you then from behaving like a senior product manager? Mm-hmm. And that just opened up for her, where she thought that, when I have been given this role by the organization and I am a deserving candidate, then what's stopping me from actually behaving like one? And that just helped her succeed in her role.
Those are some amazing examples. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Akash. Now we're moving on to the practices and habits section. And this is where we ask you some of the more, like, how would you apply what you shared with us into your everyday life, like the more practical sides of things. So my first question for you is, what is a habit that you practice to evaluate or reevaluate your career goals?
Yeah. So see, career goals could be short-term, but also could be long-term, Marie. And I think they both need different kind of reflection to analyze. But here's what I would say. I'm trying to come up with a rule, and hopefully there'll be a book out because I was unable to find something like that on the internet. But I want to build everyone to build a 2% rule. Mm-hmm. And so the question then is, Marie, how many hours do you have in a day?
24.
What is 2% of 24, Marie? It is 0.48. 0.48. I'm going to help you.
Thank you.
Your city in this moment. But it's something that you and I can identify, right? So it's 0.48 hours, which means 28
minutes.
If I
had a calculator, I could have done it. I promise you.
I believe in you. I don't think you needed a calculator. You just needed some time. But I did not want to give you that time. So it's upon me, not upon you.
Thank you. 0.48.
8 hours. And so, which translates to about 30 minutes. So what I'm seeking from people is that, can you spend 30 minutes every single day out of 24 hours? That's just 2% of time evaluating where this ship is going. I would not go out of my house into the car without putting Google Maps on. Then why are we living a life where we don't have a Google Maps?
That's
we need a Google Maps for ourselves.
That's such a good analogy. I'm sorry to cut you in there, but that was really good.
Yeah. And so to build that Google Maps, you need to spend the time. And if you can spend 2% of your time a day to figure out, then that's a practice which will help you, A, look at your short-term goals on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, but also do like a bigger analysis once every quarter. Just like Google Maps updates itself, you update yourself every 3 months to figure out, where the hell am I going?
So it sounds like, regardless of whether it's a short-term career goal or a long-term career goal, reflection is quintessential to analyzing where you're going. So could you tell us a bit about how you personally do it?
Yeah, so I am a big time user of Notion, if you've heard of that software. I love Notion, how it's almost like a replica of my brain onto Notion, which helps me analyze everything. So I have a daily list, a weekly list, and which I build on a daily or a weekly basis. But then every quarter, I take time out for myself, where I would call it like my strategy day, and use that time to define, where do I want to take my career over the next 3 months or the next 6 months. So when I was in my job, even then I would want to be keep growing, right? Because growth is quintessential. Growth is one of my values. And the name Utkarsh also means to grow or to progress.
Wow.
So that's why I would write myself an email in June as to where I would want to be in December. And so I'll take two breaks in the year, June 1 week and December 1 week. And I'll write these emails to my future self that, this is what, Utkarsh of the future self, I promise to put in to have you be where I want you to.
That's amazing. That's like time capsule, but shorter and in the digital age.
Beautiful. I love that term, time capsule. Yes.
Yeah. Are there any challenges to doing this practice?
Consistency. That's going to be the biggest challenge. Always something shiny.
And how do you make sure that you keep consistent with this habit?
Let me give you an example then. You and I both showed up right on time for this call. How did we manage to do that?
I personally put it in my calendar, and also it's my job. So I've got to show up.
Perfect. So it's your job. So personal growth and personal development, Marie, is also your job. So you better show up. And then the second thing is you put it on the Google Calendar. So I've put on a Google Calendar a recurring invite that this is my strategic time, this is my reflection time, and that's about it.
Right. That's pretty simple, straightforward. It just requires, I guess, the diligence and, you know,
absolutely,
the self-discipline to make sure that you follow up with it. So how do you think this practice would impact someone's perception in life and in work?
They would be able to define where they want to go in their life. And I think that to me is really important. And going back to again, right, you would not want to go anywhere on the road, especially in Melbourne, where I'm still understanding. I've never done a hook turn, by the way. And for people who drive in Melbourne, they'll understand what a hook turn is. And as soon as I'm entering the city on my car, my cortisol levels go up, and I always tell my wife we should take the train. But that's a simple analogy for your life. If you do this on a regular basis, you'll be able to define who you are, achieve the goals that you set for yourself, and live a life that's well lived and fulfilling.
For sure. And so, do you see yourself doing hook turns and practicing them more often?
Let me maybe first get the inspiration and understand why I have to do a hook turn when I can take the train.
That is true. Work smarter, not harder, if you don't have to take a hook turn. Yeah, because like the risk is also just frankly getting into a car accident. So yeah.
Which you don't want.
You don't want that. Thank you so much for answering my questions, Utkarsh.
Absolutely.
I had such a pleasure talking to you about this. Now we're moving on to the open mic section, and this is your opportunity to talk about anything that you're passionate about, and it doesn't have to be related to the topic at all. So the floor is yours. Take it away.
Awesome. Thank you, Marie. First of all, I think your questions ignite the spark and allow me to share my learnings. I think for our listeners, this human life is very precious, and I really mean it from the bottomest part of my heart. And I think the precious gift that we've been given, it is something that we need to share with others. So take your time, take this whole lifetime if you need, but find out what's your gift for the world. And once you have it, cherish it, use it well. And the one rule that I live by that I want to kind of, now people will say that Utkarsh has given us like 7 rules, but here's another rule that I feel we should live by. You know, this conversation Marie and I are having, this conversation that you're listening on any of your devices or on any of your platforms, this could be the last time you listen to me. And this could be the last time Marie and I speak, because I might pass on tomorrow and Marie might pass on tomorrow. Sorry for saying that, Marie. But this moment is the most precious moment that we have. Why live in the future? Why live in the past? Just enjoy this moment and do the best that you can. Keep refining yourself. Keep chipping away the stone, and you'll find a beautiful form emerge from within.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, love the people that you love like you're going to lose them tomorrow, because you might. And love yourself like you're going to lose life tomorrow, because you might. As grim as it sounds, the truth is you'll never know. So that's really well put. Thank you so much, Utkarsh, for joining us today and for sharing all of your wisdom with us. If our listeners want to find you and about your work and follow you, where can they go?
Perfect. So the organization that I lead is called Ignited Neurons, because I feel the neurons are always igniting and giving beautiful things to us. So you can find Ignite Neurons on Instagram, on YouTube, on LinkedIn, and you can find Utkarsh Narang on LinkedIn, and the websites are also there, the websites are also there, igniteneurons.me and utkarshnarang.com.
Amazing. We'll link those in the show notes. Thank you everyone for tuning in. We hope you learned something about career, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
You've been listening to the Self-Improvement Atlas, the Personal Science Insights podcast produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. For more episodes like this from 10 different life management perspectives, search LMSL on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, so you can get updated on everything we have to offer. We have a wide range of topics readily available for you to check out. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps us grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at pe.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Marie Stella. Thanks for tuning in.